today on Straight Talk Africa, a look at the fundamental root causes of ethnic violence in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and what are the possible solutions. That discussion is coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali, and today we are discussing ethnic violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo. A large number of armed groups continue to target the Banyamulenge people, who are already facing a humanitarian crisis in South Kivu, in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Since May, hundreds have been killed and tens of thousands displaced from their homes. VOA's Paul Ndiho has more. Some images in this story are disturbing, so viewer discretion is advised.
For nearly two decades, the Democratic Republic of Congo has been the scene of deadly ethnic violence. The United Nations says it has claimed millions of lives. A recent spurt of inter-ethnic fighting in eastern Congo is raising new fears of death and displacement in the region. The Banyamulenge people, an ethnic minority with Rwandan ancestry, say they are being targeted by armed groups from the Maimai community. Jean-Paul Rohosha is among several activists sounding the alarm abroad.
There is a massacre going on right now. The Maimai, it's killing, it's attacking Banyamulenge civilian. They are killing them. They killed more than 250 people. They've been taking their cows, more than 40,000 cows that they've been taking. And that is being under watch by the RC government.
Critics say the government has done little to quell the violence, which has left thousands of people displaced in areas like Ituri, northern Kivu, and southern Kivu provinces. It's a challenge for President Felix Tshisekedi, who came into power promising to solve the country's problems. Earlier this month, a top UN official urged the UN Security Council to help bring stability to the country.
While continuing to support the Congolese authorities to neutralize the unacceptable threat posed by armed groups for the civilian population, we need to come together to strengthen state functions and its capacity to govern the country following the rule of law.
Rohosha and other activists want the international community to actively intervene and stop what he calls the systematic killings of the Banyamulenge people. Do you have any empirical evidence, or any evidence for that matter, to suggest that the government of Congo, DRC, is involved?
With the evidence, yes, I am doing that. The DRC, FRDC, which is DRC army, they killed three people. And that's evident, that I have evidence to prove that. I have Roko people accusing a general who was there for his soldier to kill people, to kill the civilian. And I did send you the video. I hope we should show this video to the listener to see the evidence. This is a long-term conflict that they've been thinking that Banyamulenge are not Congolese. Now they started this biggest massacre since May 4th this year.
Another activist, Gideon Bihonzi, says the Banyamulenge are DRC's most oppressed minority. He wants protection from the U.S. government and warns that Congo is on a dangerous path to genocide.
We need that genocide being stopped by either government of Congo or international communities. And even the U.S., where I am, the government of U.S. should stand up, because over 300 or 500 people getting killed and those displacement, nobody is doing anything. Number two, people need food, need shelter, and need to be supported in all ways.
Some critics say part of the conflict is driven by politics in neighboring countries, as foreign armed rebels try to establish a base in southern Kivu. The Congolese government has categorically denied those allegations. President Felix Tshisekedi has promised to end the violence and has called for national reconciliation. But his critics say that's not good enough. Meanwhile, violence in eastern Congo rages on, and there appears to be no end in sight. Paul Ndiho, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Jean-Paul Ruhosha, Executive Director of Congo Today. Lambert Mende, a former Minister of Communications of the Democratic Republic of the Congo and currently a Member of Parliament in Kinshasa. And from our studios in New York City, we are joined by Milton Alimadi, publisher of the Black Star News and professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, which is part of the City University College of New York. Well, I have to say, gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, two of you have actually been on Straight Talk Africa before. This has to be a debut for Jean-Paul.
Yes.
How does it feel like, Jean-Paul?
It feels great to be hosted with you.
Really?
Yes.
And for that matter, you have the first question. At least you have that privilege.
Thank you.
You are a Mnyamlenge yourself.
Yes.
Where do you specifically come from?
Come from Renge, the hills of Uvira.
The hills of Uvira?
Yes.
Near the border with Burundi?
Near the border of Burundi and the border of Rwanda.
Interesting. Mm. Now, who are the Banyamulenge specifically? Because it seems to be really a new concept, relatively new concept. I never heard about the Banyamulenge until perhaps the 1970s, really, around there.
Well, Banyamulenge are ethnic Tutsi that are Congolese.
Mm-hmm.
The name of Banyamulenge because they are hills where they come from.
The Mulenge Hills.
The Mulenge Hills. It's on the top of the Uvira. Mm-hmm. That's where they come from. That's where the names come from. But they are ethnic Tutsi, only tribe of Banyamulenge. And they live there. They are not a new brand. They've been living there before Congo was Congo, more than 400 years.
So they're basically indigenous Congolese, really?
Very good, yes. They are Congolese.
Is that true, Mr. Mende?
Yes, because we have even colleagues in the parliament as well as in the government who are Banyamulenge. So if they were not Congolese, why could they have been elected as MPs or designated as ministers?
Are you in a position to name names, for example?
Mr. Ruberwa is our decentralization minister. I was with him 3 days ago, leaving Kinshasa for Goma, I think, to inquire about these events in the name of the government.
You are not talking about a Ruberwa that has actually once been a guest on Straight Talk Africa, who happened to be one of, was it, four vice presidents?
Yes, he's the one. He's now minister, decentralization minister of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
A lawyer
and
by
training. He was my colleague in the when I was minister also.
A lawyer by training.
Yes, and I have a lot of Banyamulenge members of parliament.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Now, Milton.
Yes, Ndogo.
Why do we have these problems of, legitimacy, for example? I mean, here
yes.
you are. You have two gentlemen who happen
yes.
to be citizens of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, who come
yes.
from different parts of the Congo, who actually agree mm-hmm. that the Banyamulenge are legitimate Congolese citizens. Any particular reason why they are being chased out or killed simply because somebody suggests that they are quote-unquote immigrants?
Well, you know, Shaka, it's so tragic that we are sitting here in the 21st century, in 2019, discussing issues of ethnicity, issues of legitimacy, when these should be citizens of Africa, citizens of East Africa. And to be honest, as we know, this is not a unique problem to the Congo. It's not unique to the Biamulenge being targeted. We've seen issues of ethnicity abused by politicians all over the African continent. And in fact, it was primarily the reason for what we saw in Rwanda, the genocide, in 1994, when initially Rwanda was invaded from Uganda in 1990, and that caused the ethnic tension between Hutu and Tutsi to escalate. And mind you, these are citizens of Africa, citizens of supposedly one country, Rwanda. But because of the direction in which politicians steered those issues after the assassination, the double assassination of the president in 1994, we saw the most horrific killings by neighbors, by friends, by people that went to school together, people that worked together, and then it spilled into the Congo after the primarily Hutu government was defeated. And then there, we also saw retribution against Biamulenge, and then we also saw retribution against Hutu, and now the whole region is gripped in that ethnic tension, vice, and horrific atrocities. Part of it is because politicians abuse the situation for their own agenda, and part of it is, of course, competition over resources, over land, over livestock, over access to minerals.
Hold it there.
Shaka, remember what Ndugu Mwalimu Nyerere said? Nyerere said, if we have larger African federations, and ultimately a United States of Africa, which Nkrumah also spoke about, we would not have to deal with these kind of issues. We would be dealing with bigger issues, how to create jobs in Africa and how to dispense and disperse and contribute resources to all the citizens either of East Africa or of Africa. But when we keep it focused on Hutu, Tutsi, Biamulenge, and the rest of the Congolese, that's why we're sitting and discussing this today, a conversation we should not even be having. It's very tragic.
One might add, perhaps, that in fact we would probably be working on landing a human being, being the first part of the world to land a human being on Jupiter. Mm-hmm. Now, he talks about resources, and resources usually are one of those major causes of conflict.
Yes.
Now, I can't claim to know Congo better than you two. But I have to say that I have been very fortunate in the sense that I have had the opportunity to go around the Democratic Republic of Congo. At one time, it was called Zaire under Mobutu. Earlier, it was called Congo. And earlier, much earlier, for the Belgians, it was called the Belgian Congo. It is an incredibly rich country. In fact, it has so much precious minerals to the extent that one academic referred to it as a geological scandal. In fact, the uranium that was used in the bomb that hit Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, unfortunately, was mined in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The Congo is an incredibly fertile country. It could actually be the breadbasket of the region. It does not really have that many people when you think about its size. I think it is now the second largest country in terms of land mass on the African continent. Why are we fighting? Why are the Mai Mai, for example, really fighting your people, the Banyamulenge? Not that the Mai Mai are not your people. They should be your people. You should be their people. We all should be Africans. Why should an African really be a refugee or a foreigner in Africa?
In his own country.
Mm-hmm. Well, the land of his or her ancestors. Mm. Is it because of the 1884 Berlin Conference,
yes,
chaired by the German Chancellor Bismarck, without any single African presence, who divided Africa into different countries for different European powers? Why should an African really feel like, or made to feel that he or she does not belong where his or her ancestors come from? Can you explain that, Jean-Paul?
Well, I think to me it's number one issue that we have here, we are facing. It comes from all that history you just explained. Two, now it's a parade politically to kill people. As he just mentioned, what's happening right now. The Mai Mai has been given the guns, supplied the guns with the coalition of Red Tabara.
By who? Given the guns by who?
By who? That's a good question. But what I know the government is very heavily involved, which I have the evidence to show you. It in 0.0 kilometer to 6, where the defense of FRDC are, that's where they are killing the people from.
Are you talking about government forces?
I'm talking about FRDC, government forces.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, you should talk in a language that is accessible to an ordinary English speaker.
The Army of Congo, it's involved, heavily involved in this issue.
Really?
Yes. Last time, they killed 3 people. I did talk with the local people in the Mikenke area. I hope they should show the map or cartography that I did design to show people where exactly, where is the base of the army.
We'll do that a little bit later.
And,
but let me first give an opportunity to Mr. Mende here. He is a member of parliament in the Congolese National Assembly. He was a minister, a senior cabinet minister in the Congolese government for many, many, many years. Mm. Surely you must know about this, Mr. Mende.
Shaka, you did well to refer to the Berlin Conference of 1885 or 1884.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think everything starts from there, mm-hmm, because when we got independence in
1960,
we saw many superpowers who signed that agreement of Berlin, mm-hmm, trying to come back in Congo, mm-hmm, trying to oppose Congolese, mm-hmm, to each to another, so that they can make profit of these, all this disorder. When we are talking now of what is happening in South Kivu, mm-hmm, against the Banyamulenge, mm-hmm, that is something that is hurting us, and me as a member of the parliament, it makes me sounding alarm, mm, to know that some members of our army can be implicated in these crimes that are being committed against our people. We must inquire about it, because we know that many people from abroad, mm-hmm, out of Africa, are implicated in trying to bring disorder in these, what you called, geological scandal, so that they make profit.
They want to get a piece of the action.
Yes, we are having the same problems, maybe in a low level, in Ituri province, mm-hmm, with the Hema, mm-hmm, who are our compatriots, mm-hmm, but are also found in Uganda.
The Hema and Lendu.
Yes, with Lendu.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that is masterminded from somebody abroad, and they have some friends, they have some, let me say, links locally, and we are very much interested in the parliament to really know who is doing what.
We know about that. We know about that, Mr. Mende, and in fact, that is perhaps the key reason why your independence hero, Patrice Emery Lumumba, was assassinated.
Yes.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
But then what about the fact that you and your colleagues, you are in charge of the store that we call the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Are you telling us, frankly, that you have nothing to do about it, that you are willing victims?
Well, I can't say that we have nothing to do. It is our responsibility to protect our people. Mm-hmm. It is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. We are representative of the state. We are elected parliament.
Yes.
Those people sent us to the parliament to speak on their behalf.
And you used, in fact, to be the government spokesperson.
Yes, when I was in the government, of course. Now I'm not.
But your party is part of the coalition of the government.
And I always used to talk with my friend, my young friend, our party sent to the government. He's in charge of human rights.
And
I'm sure Andre is preparing, he's preparing a mission to go to South Kivu, and I'm sure that he will bring us some information about
That's not enough.
That is being said it's about the implication of local people, of officers in the army.
That's
so that
not
we
enough.
Can take measures.
So, but really, why should the Banyamulenge, legitimate Congolese citizens, and indeed, as Milton earlier pointed out, in an ideal world, they would in fact be legitimate African citizens. Why? Is it because there is a lack of resources? Is it because there is a lack of opportunities? Is it because there is a lack of land? Come on.
When you talk of resources, I think that we have to go far beyond resources. Mm. It is politics.
Bad politicians.
Some people who are trying to get into these small problems of local disputes, you know, among we have Congolese like Banyamulenge who are much in livestock, and you have other who are agriculture.
Pastoralists and agriculture.
You know, pastoralists and agriculture.
Yes.
They can, you know, have problems. This happens everywhere.
So it is, in fact,
and somebody can take these.
But it is a legitimate conflict because you are talking about a cow versus a whore.
Yes.
Correct?
That can be.
Because one community, for example, wants to grow their beans.
Yes.
Their vegetables. Mm-hmm. And what have you. And another community wants to make sure that their current cattle have unfettered access to grass and water.
Yes.
They need democracy.
Yes.
So perhaps the entire society actually needs democracy.
But comes now the implication of foreign groups.
Foreign groups may be
destabilized.
Yeah, but what about us? What about us, sincerely? Because when you say politics, politics has various definitions. One, perhaps, one very credible definition of politics is about who gets what, when, where, and how. So that is really the distribution of resources and opportunities. Another one, which is a little bit mercenary-like, is about politics is the art of all possibilities. Mm. You can yes. take advantage of such a definition.
Yes.
And that's what they are taking advantage of.
But there is more than enough. There is more than enough, someone once said, for all our needs, really, except that there is not enough for those people who are greedy.
Yes.
The problem for me is that when those domestic disputes occur, there is some people who are not implicated locally, but are trying to serve other interests.
Foreign interests.
And for us.
And their personal interests.
And we think that if we don't care these issues, it will become a furnace.
It will become a furnace.
A real furnace. Nobody can be able to extinguish it.
We can't afford
so
that.
We have really to interfere.
We can't afford quickly. That. But, yes. Lambert, my brother Lambert, how does a government, for example, justify its existence if it cannot protect its population and property?
Right.
Well, I can't talk on behalf of the government now, as I'm not no longer a member of the government, but I can understand the situation of Mr. Tshisekedi now, just coming in the office. We fought with these problems for quite a long time.
Right.
And sometime they referred to President Kabila, my boss, as a Rwandese who is trying to help his brothers.
Rumors.
Because he was saying, look, those are our compatriots.
But
we must work with them.
But Rwandese,
we must live with them.
But Rwandese,
we must share everything with them. So, but I don't know. Now Mr. Tshisekedi has took over and he's trying his best, I think. But still, some bad habits, some bad, you know, misbehavior has been, you know, take very long time there in the field. How will he manage the issue? Andre told me that he's preparing to go there with a good team.
Andre is from your political party, by the way.
Yes, he's
from my political party. And he is the minister responsible for some
human
of the
rights.
Things we are talking about.
And he's very much concerned about what is happening now.
In fact, we were expecting him to be our guest. I don't know what happened.
You know, a minister does not move like a member of parliament. I am more free than Andre.
Really?
I can move when I want to, but not him.
Let's go back to the issue of President Felix Tshisekedi. There are some critics who have actually been saying, and correct me if they are wrong, and if in fact I shouldn't be saying this, that yes, President Felix Tshisekedi has the position. He stays in the State House. He's called His Excellency, the President. But that he has no authority to move anything. How do you respond to that?
I think that this is not a good faith to say like that. President Felix Tshisekedi has full authority to do what a president must do.
Does he control, for example, the armed forces? Does he control the security forces?
He is the commander-in-chief of the army. He is full in charge of diplomacy. But he must work with a majority that comes from election.
You know,
his party didn't win elections.
There are so many examples.
It is the party of Mr. Kabila who won elections. And this is the will of the Congolese people that both of them must work together in order to bring Congo out of this hole we are finding ourselves after this period of destabilization.
I'm afraid there are so many examples where we have had individuals occupying positions of head of state and commander-in-chief of the armed forces when in reality they command nobody. And I can tell you about, for example, the Republic of Uganda. You go back to the 1966 crisis. The president of the Republic of Uganda was a gentleman who was also the king of Buganda, Sir Fred Mutesa, King Freddy. He was the president of Uganda and also commander-in-chief of the Uganda Armed Forces. But guess what? A man called Colonel Idi Amin followed the instructions of a man called Prime Minister, head of government, Dr. Apollo Milton Obote, and stormed his palace. And that was the end of him and his kingdom, as it were. So yes, there are people who can be called in your French language, which you say, son excellence, his excellence, but nothing beyond that. Anyway, for that, you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. So please don't go away, because we'll be right back with you.
We're talking about the news and issues you're talking about, sharing stories of development and growth across Africa, around the world, and in our lives. Topics that inform, empower, and change the rules. It's time for Our Voices with me, Haiti Adams Fitzpatrick,
and Hadiza Kiari,
and Ayan Bior,
and Orion Itangi Shaka.
It's time for Our Voices.
We appreciate all of the audience feedback, and Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook. You can watch our show there and leave a comment. Now let's look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the first ever Roche-Africa summit in Sochi marks a new era of economic, military, and political engagement between Russia and the continent. We'll take a closer look on the next Straight Talk Africa.
And today we are talking about ethnic violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Our guests are Jean-Paul Ruhosha, Executive Director of Congo Today, Lambert Mende, former Minister of Communications of the Democratic Republic of the Congo and currently a Member of Parliament. And from our studios in New York City, we are joined by Milton Alimadi, publisher of the Black Star News. Well, gentlemen, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Our pleasure.
You're most welcome. Jean-Paul, you are itching to say something.
Yes. I wanted to explain the involvement of the government in this issue. This issue that we are having, it's a massacre, it's a genocide with all evidences. Banyamulenge have been singled out by those killer with a pass or help of the army group, the army of Congo. And they've been killing them, burning their house down and take their cows from them.
So you're saying basically that the government, that Kinshasa is in fact behind what is going on?
Obviously. If they are not behind of it, they should act. They should be in charge of resolving the issue. But we have had more than five delegations to go see President Felix Tshisekedi.
And
but until now, there is no response of it.
Do you have, in addition to that, could you tell me whether or not you have incontrovertible evidence, evidence that is not liable to falter? Because we are talking about very, very serious charges here.
Yes, I have not only evidence just to show you as a video, mm-hmm. but also I have people on the ground mm-hmm. seeing the Congolese army, FRDC, killing people, shoot and kill people on in the morning. And they killed those people. And actually, we have a video of Chief of Banyamulenge talking in a conference showing the commander of the region.
You have that here?
I do have it.
Really?
Yes.
And well, if we have it, then why don't we put it on the screen for the audience?
I have submitted it. I don't know if they do have it. But also for your next show, I would like to show that. The commander of the region didn't challenge him. They did explain how this is went down and the way they are singling out Banyamulenge in this.
But then, Paul, if you are a farmer, you cannot go to a garden mm-hmm. without a hoe. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you come with that incontrovertible piece of evidence?
Well, I have sent it to the producer. I don't know if she did put it there, but it's there and it's clean. And all those evidences are there. Also, even the map that I just showed there, it shows you that in 0 to 6 kilometers where the army is, mm. that's where they are killing Banyamulenge. Also, even
and the army is indifferent.
Is indifferent. They don't even talk about it. And also, for this last year, today actually, I was on the phone with my family there. They said the army told them they run toward them when they want to kill them, mm-hmm. and the army told to them that, no, we are not here to protect you. We are here to escort you to Rwanda.
Really?
Yes. That's what happened.
Why to escort you to Rwanda?
I have no idea, Shaka. And that's why we are here to talk about it. We need intervention of the international community. We need intervention of everybody to stop this. It has all the sign of genocide. They've been singling them out. They've been killing them. They've been taking their belongings. They've been doing everything. As Excellency Minister said, the Banyamulenge are Congolese. They're in parliament. They've been talking about this for a long, long time. We've seen the president. We went to the parliament. We went to the MONUSCO. We went everywhere. But unfortunately, nothing that the government is doing. That's where you can see the involvement, highly involved in this.
This is very serious. Milton... You are a journalist as good as anyone that I know in this business, and you cover Africa very, very closely.
Yes.
Is this something that you have heard about before?
Yes, of course. I mean, in terms of politicians abusing ethnic differences, exaggerating it for their own good, in fact, being behind some of these killings just to push their own political agenda or political position. That's not unique, unfortunately, to the Congo. And the victims in this case that we're discussing today, obviously, yes, Banyamulenge. But look at what's going on in South Sudan, for example, where you have Nuer, Dinka, hundreds of thousands being killed because we can't resolve the political differences between Salva Kiir and Riek Machar.
And Riek Machar.
So this is, unfortunately, very tragic, but not unique to the Congo.
And as you
I'm
said,
glad that...
And you said earlier about, you know, conflict really that is caused by resources, you brought another example where nobody, in fact, should be fighting anybody because there is simply too much more for everybody's need in South Sudan.
Of course.
You even
of
have...
Of course. Look at Congo.
Population.
Let's stay in Congo for 1 second. Congo, the estimated wealth of the natural resources and minerals in the Congo is $27 trillion. Imagine that. Now, you can say there are hopeful signs with the new Africa Continental Free Trade Area. When we have integrated markets, when the politics start converging behind it, I would hope that 5 years from now, we won't be discussing ethnic massacres in African countries. But obviously, we have to deal with this immediate situation.
Yes.
Our heart goes out to all the victims. I'm glad that you're giving Brother Jean-Paul this medium to bring out the story. Mm-hmm. And I hope some of the information that he says that he has, the documentation, can be sent to the United Nations as well. In fact, I would encourage him to have a press conference and invite other members of the media and show some of the information that you have in your possession. I also want to make one comment to my brother in the studio, former Minister Mendes. Now, you said that you are now a member of parliament. You're not a member of the government. That is correct. But members of parliament are still representatives of the people. Mm. So even though you are not a member of the government, you have significant moral authority. I would urge you, as a brother, take with you other members of parliament, as many as you can, and go to the region and see for yourself what is happening. Please, don't wait for another minister who is handling that portfolio to go and come back with the report. We have to care about our sisters and brothers everywhere in Africa. So I ask you, as a brother, take other members of parliament when you go back and go for yourself, because it would also promote harmony and reconciliation if they see that other members of parliament care about the conflict.
How do you react to that?
I'm sure that there is no doubt that the parliament must send a huge team in South Kivu, in Uvira, and in Mulenge to inquire about these facts that are happening the way we have heard about that. And I spoke with even some members of the government, not only members of parliament. We have to send a team from the parliament, and the government must send a team, because the army is under the control of the government. And what I'm hearing here from Jean-Paul is something that we can't accept at all from officers, because we had such stories for quite a long time. And some change have been made on the command locally. It seems that it was not enough, if this is true. But some inquiries must be done to see up to where the defense minister, the higher command of the army, must go to protect all the Congolese locally. An officer who is saying that he cannot protect a Congolese, but he have to escort them to where some people
they supposedly came from,
belonging to a tribe of origin, to what he belong to one he belongs, does not deserve to serve in our army. That is something I can say as a member of the parliament.
That is very interesting, but we have to go beyond, in fact, talking the talk, and make sure that we walk that talk, so that the people can walk the walk.
Exactly.
Now, Jean-Paul, just in case, President Felix Tshisekedi was watching this show, Straight Talk Africa, and his Minister of Defense or National Security, could you please look in your camera?
Yes.
And send specific message to what you think ought to be done, and you say it from the deepest better part of the bottom of your Mulenge heart and soul.
I will tell the president this. We have sent many delegations to explain the problem to you, the massacre that it's been committed to Banyamulenge, and it has all the evidences. I have sent all the notes and the documents to show you the evidence of those issues. We really need right now your action. And Minister of Defense, we need you to intervene now. Right now that I'm speaking, Banyamulenge are being killed. This morning, I did spoke to some of them. They are under attack. Please save some life of people, Banyamulenge. And the genocide, it's very clear. All the signs of it, it's there. And this is your responsibility. Under the Constitution of Congo, Article 51 allows you to do that. It says the president and the government are responsible to protect the people of Congo, especially the minority people. And this is a minority people that are being killed. It's your responsibility, Mr. President. You will be asked about this. To international community, I will talk to them also. We need to act. President Tshisekedi, we have telling him many times, but nothing has been done. We need you to help to never again that we can say, you don't want to hear tomorrow saying sorry that we didn't know, but we urge you, and this is red flag right now, that Banyamulenge are being killed every single day. Thank you.
Your country is also a member of SADC, the Southern African Development essentially community. What about that body? And what about the African Union?
Should do.
In Addis Ababa? Because unlike its predecessor, the OAU, which used to have this mantra of not interfering in a member's internal affairs, the African Union prides itself on what it says is the mandate is no indifference. So why can't they actually stand up and get counted? And also, what about the United Nations Security Council, which is supposed to be essentially in charge of global peace and security?
Unfortunately, we have MONUSCO there.
Yeah, in fact, talking about MONUSCO,
we have MONUSCO
the
there,
single largest, in fact, peacekeeping mission in the world. And it has been there for a very long time. But so what does it do?
Nothing has been done. Where today, this morning, they called me that there is a people, a chief actually of Mikenke. They killed him today. The Mai Mai killed him today. In 0.1 mile where the headquarters of MONUSCO in Mikenke area, they killed him today. But nothing was done. And in their mandate, Mr. Shaka, it's protection of the civilian and their belongings. If I'm wrong, that's minister can correct me, but that's what it is, their mandate there. But unfortunately, they are not doing anything. That's why we are here to cry aloud, to see international community should walk the talk, not just the talk. We need action. There is a life of young people. There is a future African. There is a future president Senides. There is a future business leaders. There is a global leaders who should come from those kids who have been killed. We need to stop it now.
And you know, we're talking about how these conflicts are brought about because of perhaps inadequate resources and what have you. But what about sincerely the issue of governance? Isn't there a possibility of lack of good governance?
Obviously, there it is.
We can say that we are coming from very far about good governance. And we are trying to solve the problem of good governance. And you know, not to care about human rights is bad governance. And a parliament is there to be vigilant and to make sure that everybody, mostly these minorities, are protected, because that is the main mission that is given to a state, to protect citizens, to protect minorities.
Yes.
So, as a member of a parliament, I can promise that. I can not only dispatch this information, but also take information in the field, ask these commanders with their higher level officers in Kinshasa to know exactly how come that their officers are reacting like that.
The ministers responsible, for example.
Yes. And we are having already a problem with MONUSCO, as Jean-Paul said, because we engaged a strategic dialogue with MONUSCO when I was in government. I left the government 8 months ago, but we started having these strategic dialogue to see what is MONUSCO is doing as a job there for our people. And this is an example that is being given today, that those people are there with a lot of materials, with a lot of means, 1 billion or more a year. So, and they are just witnessing, you know, writing a lot of reports, but nothing is being done in the field when people are in danger. So there is a problem of good governance, maybe in our government in the Congo, but we are there to cater for it. But there is a problem of good governance of MONUSCO as a mission that have been there for 20 years.
But it has been there because the people who are supposed to be in charge of the store have not embraced social, economic, political justice.
I can't say that it is. I can't say people. That the MONUSCO went when Congo was almost disappearing, you know. 1999, Congo was almost disappearing. We have had more than 11 armed forces in Congo. So this was not a country again. So they sent MONUSCO to help the government to maintain Congo unite. But still, the mandate was
revoked. But unite for who?
You know, divided by...
Unite for who? The country unite
for people, of course.
So that perhaps business continues to go as usual. So that factories in China, factories in Europe, in America, continue having unfettered access to copper.
That is the problem,
Continue getting coltan from the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo.
You have got it.
So that we can continue using smartphones. Laptops, and what have you. But what about for your people?
That's where there is a big problem, Shaka, that we need a responsibility of the government. They should take a lead. You cannot wait for a foreigner to come to resolve the issue of your own home. They need to do it now. And who has that responsibility? It's a President Tshisekedi who should take a lead on his own citizen, who should do that reconciliation if he needed. This is issue of the government, and we've been telling the government this all the time. They have information, they are informed. We even volunteered saying that we have the way to reconcile these people. But when you see it, there is no cooperation or willingness of
there
the
is
government.
No political will.
There is no political will at all for the government to resolve this issue. It's a very easy issue to resolve.
I can give an information to Jean-Paul. When I was living in Kinshasa, some members of the government and André mostly told me that they
André
are working
the minister for human rights.
They've been saying that all the time.
No. He's minister for quite, I don't know, 3 to 4 months.
And we should point out that he belongs to your political party.
And he told me
your political party, as a matter of fact, is part of the coalition that runs the government.
And André told me that President Tshisekedi and Prime Minister Ilunga asked him to work out a program of reconciliating these problems of Ituri of South Kivu and two or three other. There are four problems they are working and they met last week to work on it so that what Jean-Paul is saying can be made. Transactional justice and so on. But I don't have details, but they are working on it.
Very interesting.
I am very worried that there will it will be bureaucracy for a long time. When there is a people who have been killed.
When people are doing the dying.
Suffering for all of us. What they should do immediately, it should be to stop what's going on.
Yes.
It's a very harmful, it's a shame for the country that want to have democracy.
Right.
And this is not the example of democracy that we are seeing.
When you are talking about democracy, Jean-Paul, what type of democracy are you talking about here? Are you talking about, for example, the type that a man called Abraham Lincoln believed in, which was, as far as he's concerned, a government of the people, by the people, for the people? Or are you talking about another version which seems to be in vogue, especially in democratically challenged societies, which is a government of some people, by some people, and for some people?
It should be the other way. It should be the other way for the old people. It should be that democracy that they should do. And unfortunately, in the constitution of Congo, he has a responsibility to protect people, all the people, especially the minority people.
You call it a constitution.
I call it constitution. But, and perhaps, it's an article.
But perhaps the practice reflects what someone would say is a personal manifesto rather than a constitution.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, Milton, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Well, you know that when you look at societies that are democratic, at least on this planet Earth, you find that they are peaceful, you find that they are progressive, that they in fact work and deliver services. Wow. And when you talk about African leaders, someone in fact might say rulers, adopting that type of democracy, they immediately jump to tell you that is a foreign or an alien concept. And yet, Milton, the last time I checked, when it comes to electricity, which was invented by a man called Thomas Edison, who happens to be an American Muzungu, those people do not have problems switching on the light. Because the light serves them. When you talk about the telephone, again, it was invented by a man called Alexander Graham Bell. In fact, I last saw his grave in upstate New York, in Albany.
Yes.
People don't have problems. They have smartphones, they have iPhones, you name it.
Yes.
But how come they don't have a problem using that telephone or driving the Mercedes-Benz, which happens to be made in Germany? But there is, I have a problem embracing democracy, which in fact is a foundation and an infrastructure that can be in the interest of everybody.
Of course, absolutely. And in the interest of all African peoples as well.
Yes.
Shaka, I think we have to agree on one basic thing, at least for all African countries. Let's have term limits. Let's have presidential term limits. That's the basic foundation that we need in Africa. In our beloved Uganda, we've had one president for 33 years.
Well, unfortunately, Milton, time is not our best ally. On that note, our distinguished guests are Jean-Paul Ruosha, Lambert Mende, Milton Alimadi. Thanks to our audience for tuning into Space Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.